This is an eavesdropping conversation. I'm Juliet Fraser, and today I'm talking to Lilia Maria Asmundsdottir. Hey, Lilia.
Hi.
Nice to see you. Where are you joining us from today?
I am in Iceland at the moment.
Fantastic. Okay, let's dive straight in. I'm wondering if you can introduce us a bit to you and to your music. Can you tell us a bit how you describe yourself as a musician?
I would describe me as someone that is very curious about different music genres and art forms. Perhaps someone that is quite fluid and interested in taking on different roles, for example, a composer or a performer or audiovisual artist. But I would say my main interests lie in working with my hands by building sound sculptures or designing audiovisual installations that can be used in different musical and artistic contexts, and often through working collaboratively with artists from various fields.
I think we might come back to this term sound sculpture. So before we dig into a bigger conversation, can you define for us a little bit what you mean by a sound sculpture?
Yeah, so it's kind of like twofold. Like, I think my main practice involves like physical sound sculptures. So I often make them from like wood or metal. So it's like sculptures that also make sounds.
Mm.
And at times they incorporate some electronic elements as well. But then there are also like more kind of sonic structures that are made from improvisational recordings. And yeah, I kind of tried to design the physical sound sculptures so that they are approachable for different artistic disciplines.
Mm.
Yeah, so that, for example, dancers or actors or musicians can interact with them from the perspective of their discipline.
And how have you arrived at this point, do you think, of working in this way with sound that is very much engaged with sound as a physical property, and also this very collaborative, multidisciplinary way of working? Can you tell us a bit about your journey to this point?
Yes, when I was starting out, when I was little, then I studied the violin and the piano, but I was always also very interested in visual arts. And before I went to do studies in piano performance at Iceland University of the Arts, I studied visual arts at Garðabær College in Iceland. And as my final project, I built my first sound sculpture. So I would kind of say that my journey starts there a little bit.
Mm.
And then during my piano performance studies, I started to get very interested in collaborating with composers that were also studying at Iceland University of the Arts. And I performed a lot of their pieces. And then kind of from there, I started to make more pieces myself and revisiting this idea of creating sound sculptures. And that's when I went to the UK to study composition at City University of London.
Yeah, you're still there at the moment.
Yeah, I'm still there and working on my PhD with Claudia Molitor as my supervisor.
Great. You perform as well, don't you, still? So do you still perform other people's works, or has it become more part of your own creative practice that you're sort of blending this composition and performance elements?
I also perform some other works by other composers.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, what are you feeling excited about at the moment, creatively? What are you working on, or what's giving you energy at the moment?
I think one of the projects that I find most excited these days is a collaboration with the dancer Inés Sino Pinero. We have been working together since 2018 on various projects. And throughout our collaboration, we have kind of been exploring how music and dance relate and interact.
Mm.
And our most recent piece is called Internal Human and explores this connection through interactions between the movements of the music performer and the movements of the dancer. And we premiered it in Iceland last year, but we are working on bringing it to Portugal, where Inés is based. But yeah, what I kind of think I find especially exciting about this collaboration is how it sparks my creativity. For example, many of my physical sound sculptures are directly inspired by our correspondences, and I feel like there isn't really a specific start or an end to the things we are working on. Instead, it feels like a continuous dialogue that influences our next steps. So I feel like we somehow always have more ideas for what we want to explore.
What do you think the qualities are of that relationship with Inesh that keep it successful and keep it fruitful?
I think maybe partly like a common interest in exploring this relationship between music and dance, and also this like explorative side of us. And yeah, it's hard to maybe pinpoint.
This year, the festival forum topic is experiments in defiance. And I was wondering if this word defiant or defiance resonates for you at all. Do you feel defiant about any aspect of your music making, or defiant about changes that you'd like to see in the industry?
I think that there are probably some people that find themselves at home within certain existing frames of working in our industry, and then there are other ways of working that maybe haven't received as much attention. So I think making more room for different things to exist alongside each other is something I'd like to see. And then I've also been thinking a lot about how the idea of a finished product is very prominent in the music industry, while there are many artists that are working with some like more fluid concepts. For example, in my practice, I like to make these sculptures or performative installations that I don't find them like to represent a specific end product, but rather something that takes on a life of its own and creates this kind of space to explore improvisational creative, kind of highlighting the everyday process. And then there are moments like performances where we get a glimpse into what is happening in that world at that moment. So kind of to generalize this, maybe explore more versatile ways of structuring music events or how we frame them. I was also thinking, like, I haven't been to eavesdropping yet, but what I have read and heard about it, and I think the festival is kind of like a very nice example of making room for other ways of thinking about music. So I'm very excited to be there.
I hope it is, yes. The thing that strikes me in what you say is this perhaps a different way of thinking about what a performance is, that it's actually just, or it can be what just one step along a creative process that doesn't have a particular end in sight. I know that for myself as a performer, I can get very fixated on trying to achieve something like perfection next Tuesday or whenever it is. And I think the sort of flexible model that you're talking about, where the performance is less fixed and less of an endpoint, could be much more liberating for performers as well as composers.
Yeah, I think it's something interesting to explore.
I wonder if you can tell us a bit about what you might be sharing with us in your performance in Eavesdropping.
So the performance will be based around a wooden sound sculpture called Hulda that I have been developing for the past few years. And additionally, I've asked a few artists to send me recordings of improvisations, which I will use to design sound sculptures, as in like sonic structures, not physical sculptures. And then I will be using the Hulda to improvise with them. The improvisations that the artists will be contributing are either based on like open scores that I sent them or short instructions. And this includes musicians with different backgrounds. And I have also asked Inesh, the dancer, to send me a few audio recordings of her dancing in different surroundings, where she kind of explores what kind of sounds she can create through her movements. And then with her recordings, I will be kind of exploring the physical presence of the dancer, a sense through sounds.
And can you tell me a bit more about your open schools, and is that a new thing that, that you're working with, or is that, has that been something that's long been in your practice?
I think it has been in my practice since maybe around the time when I was doing my master's in 2018. So the open scores can be like, there's maybe a different level of openness to them. Like some have more fixed material that you can like navigate through in a rather free way. But then there are other like more like text-based instructions that are, that I feel are much more open.
Mm-hmm. So they're a form of guideline or guide to towards an improvisation. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm. And you're actually making this year's eavesdropping commission, which is very exciting for us. So don't tell us too much about it because we do like surprises, but I'm wondering, is there anything that you can tell us, sort of glimpse behind the scenes about how you're thinking about that or some element of what's going on there?
Yeah, I am also very excited about it. And in that piece, I'll be asking some artists that are connected to the Eavesdropping Festival this year to send me some of these like open score guided improvisations, and then I will be creating or like designing these sound sculptures, and I will be using the Hulda to kind of interact with their improvisations as well.
Mm. That's great, Lilia. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to speak with you and find out a bit about the way that you're making at the moment and what you're making. So I really appreciate you giving the time to speak with me today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So please join us, listeners, for Lilia's performance at the Eavesdropping Festival on Saturday, the 1st of April at Cafe Otto. And you can find out more about what we do by visiting www.eavesdropping.london. You have been listening to an eavesdropping conversation. Our new jingle was composed for us by Iza Otoya. Thank you.